My name is Seth Tomboli. I'm one of the student pastors here, and I have the honor, yes, we've got a few students here this morning. I have the honor of serving 9th through 12th grade right here, and man, it's so much fun. I love what I get to do, and I want to introduce you to my family really quick. If you would throw that picture up, this is my wife, Kendra. Everybody say, hey, Kendra. She is the sweetest, most amazing woman in the world, other than my mom, and I'm so thankful for her, and I love her so much. We are expecting a child. I'll tell you a little bit about him in a little bit. Throw that next picture up there. This is our firstborn, and his name is Ace. Do I got any dog people in the house? Yes. So you know the look that the dog gives you when you leave. He gave it this morning, and it just tore me apart. So he is actually single and ready to mingle, and he's getting fixed in about 3 weeks. And so if you know any golden retrievers, holla at your boy, okay? But seriously, okay, we've got to get him to calm down a little bit. But man, I'm excited to meet my son. Zane Tomboli is going to be here in like 50 days, okay? Well, at least that's what the doctor says. I don't know how all that works. I'm learning and reading books, okay, and watching YouTube. Yes, and it's been quite disturbing. So I'm excited, and y'all just pray for me because I've been a little nervous about like in the delivery room. I've heard it kind of can be a little crazy. So just pray for me. I'm going to stay at the front of the bed with Kendra, and it's going to be great, okay? But man, like I've said before, like people give some advice in the church when it comes to having a child, and some of it is good. I would say it's about 80-20, 20 being good and 80 being like, I don't know if God said that either, okay? Like, I don't know if that's really what I should do. I could make a movie about it, but we'll pass. So usually when students ask me the hard questions, I just send them back to you guys. Like, I'm like, just ask your parents, right? Like, just go ask your parents, especially a couple weeks ago. Pastor Rick talked about sex, right? And he said, sex is not bad. God never said that. And I had a lot of questions, and I was like, dear God, go talk to your parents, okay? They're the experts. They brought you into this world, and they'll give you everything you need to know. But, man, I'm thankful that we have pastors and leaders that will tackle the hard topics. Are you thankful for your leadership? Like, we have pastors, Pastor Rick and Michelle Bazette. Would y'all give it up for them really quick? I'm so honored to be up here, and like, I shouldn't be up here, but man, they believe in me, and I'm so honored, and I love them a ton. And Pastor Chris and Kat Ochterbeck, they married me and Kendra and did our premarital and somehow believed in us as well, and here we are today. I love our pastors so much. But y'all, we've been in a series, and it's called God Never Said That. And I think personally, since I've been here about 7.5 years at New Life Church back in college, like, I think this is probably my favorite series so far. It's been so cool. We've talked about God just wants me to be happy. God didn't say that. Sex is bad. We all know he didn't say that either, okay? Everything happens for a reason. Just follow your heart. Only God can judge me. And I believe this, that people have great intentions, but sometimes people just say stupid stuff. Would y'all agree? Like, turn to your neighbor and said, you have said some stupid stuff. Make sure you know them, okay? That's going to be an awkward conversation. Like, they're like, you don't even, you've never talked to me, right? So growing up, I heard things, like people would say just kind of silly things, like before, like after you eat, you cannot swim for 30 minutes. Someone lied to y'all, okay? My mom told me an hour, okay? I'm just, man, it was a struggle. You're like just, everybody's diving in the pool, like who made that up, right? If you swallow gum, it stays in you for 7 years. Okay, we're all on the same page. And if you cross your eyes, that's right. And my grandma used to say, if you keep your lips stuck out like that, a bird's gonna poop on it, okay? I don't know who made these things up, but it's the truth, right? It's not in the Bible, but y'all, when I go in the movie theater, I say stupid stuff all the time. I love awkward moments. I actually embrace them. I try to cause them because I think life is funnier that way. And my wife knows this. She gets embarrassed. But I'll go in the movie theater, and the ticket lady, I'm assuming that's what we call the person that takes your ticket. She, you know, you give them the ticket stub, and then they say, enjoy your movie. And I always say, you too. And then I feel awful because she has to stay there, right? And then, like, me and Kendra were at a restaurant several months ago. And I won't tell you the name of the restaurant. We were at Bonefish Grill. And we had just, you know, great food, okay? Bam Bam Shrimp are from the Lord. Can I get an amen? But we had some awkward service, okay? And I always embraced those moments. The waiter was a little awkward, and, you know, he would just come to the table and just stand there. And it's like, are you going to, you know, you don't just come stay, you say something. And so we would spark conversation. And anyways, we finish our meal, and my sweet wife, of course, the guy comes back, and he's standing at the table. And Kendra said, the food was amazing. And he looks at her plate, and he says, I can tell. And your boy about lost his salvation right then, okay? I was like, don't you say that to my wife. Like, you know, I didn't say anything. He awkwardly walked away, forgot the ticket. It's just a long story, okay? We say dumb things. We say things sometimes, and it just doesn't make sense. It's like walking up to a woman, and you ask her when she's due, and then you soon find out she's not pregnant, okay? Has anyone ever done that before? We're going to pray for you after service, okay? It's almost as bad as calling your executive pastor Harry Berry, okay? And that happened to me, Pastor Harry Bates. Saturday night, a long time ago, the last time they let me speak, I accidentally called him Harry Berry. I wanted to dig a hole and fall in it, okay? I'm serious. You can't make this stuff up. We say dumb things. And I think we would all agree that sometimes our intentions are good, but sometimes the words just don't come out correctly. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? Like, I'm thankful the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That we can hold on to it. It doesn't change. It stays the same. We are in a world where everything else is changing. But the Word of God stays the same. We can lean on it. We can live by it. I've heard the statement so many times that we are debunking today, and it is this, that God will never give you more than you can handle. God will never give you more than you can handle. Has anyone ever said this before? I have said this, okay? I have actually said it right after everything happens for a reason. God would never give you more than you can handle. And both of those we have actually talked about in this series. So anyone who has said this before has never served in student ministry, okay? Because when you get 300 high school students in a room, there's no way that you can handle that without God, okay? Anyone who has said this doesn't have kids. Can I get an amen? I don't know yet. I just have a dog, all right? Anyone who has a spouse. Okay, I'm kidding, all right? I'm kidding. It's a joke. Don't nudge anybody next to you, okay? It actually comes from this verse. The reason people believe this, I want to read this verse. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. I'm thankful for that. So that you can endure. This scripture is not talking about life in general. It's talking about temptation. And we know that temptation is the desire to do something that's not good. But I believe that temptation is also just as much an opportunity to do the right thing as it is the wrong thing. We have a choice that we can make. But with every temptation, there's an opportunity for a way out. So the misunderstanding of this passage has led us to believe that God would never give us more than we can handle. And I want to tell you it's not true. It's led us to believe in this mindset that when life is not good, then we must be in the wrong lane. It's also led us to believe that if life has taken a bad turn, then we need to get behind the steering wheel. When the waves of life get rough and we hit turbulence, we hit some bumps in life, and the road is getting narrow, for some reason we feel the need to be in the captain's seat. And I want to tell you that God never intended it to be that way. That's bad theology, and I've lived my life this way so long. It's like saying this with this mindset. We would never say this, but this is maybe the thought process. It's like saying, God, I'll give you my life at the beginning. At the day of salvation, when I became a Christian, I'll surrender my will for that day. I'll surrender my life for that day, but the rest of my life is mine. I'm in control. I make the decisions. And I will carry the weight. The truth is, in this life, that we all have probably more than we can handle. And if you don't, everybody else is mad at you, okay? There's weight that comes with this life. And in Scripture, it's filled to the brim with people who had more than they could handle. Usually what God calls you to do, you cannot handle it alone. Because we need him. It says in Psalm 38, verse 4 and 8, it says, my guilt has overwhelmed me. Has anyone been overwhelmed before? Like, I saw double hands in the back. Like, yes, okay? We've been overwhelmed. Life can be overwhelming. It has overwhelmed me like a burden that is too heavy to bear. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. And I believe that there are people that are sitting in here today that you feel this way. You feel like you're at the end of yourself. Let me tell you, that's the best place to meet Christ. I believe that life can be heavy. So I'm going to give you some examples. We've got bills, okay? Everybody got bills, okay? We've got unexpected medical expenses, savings. We've got kids' sports. We've got a kid that's rebelling. Y'all send them usually to me, okay? We've lost a loved one. We've got a business that isn't going like we thought that it would go. Maybe bankrupt, and we've got to get groceries. Maybe we got to start a business. We've got health problems, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Our marriage isn't going well. We're not communicating like we did at once. The kids need clothes. Why? Because it's illegal to be naked, okay? Like, unless you're in your house. No naked stories today. We've got to provide. A few of you got that. Yes, okay. We've got to provide. We got to please the boss. We have coworkers that aren't the nicest people. Anybody say amen? We've got to change the oil. We've got to throw away that anything that doesn't spark joy, okay? Dear Lord, that TV show. And then we got to check our email. We've got text messages to respond to. We've got voicemails. We've got birthday parties, holidays, family reunions. Sometimes those aren't from the Lord, like, and then we've got traffic leaving the church. And it's like, God, I do not know what is going on. I cannot handle everything that is going on. It says in Psalm 61, verse 2, from the ends of the earth I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. It says in Psalm 142, it says, when I am overwhelmed, you alone are the way that I should turn. This is what the word whelm means. To be buried or submerged. Overwhelmed is like that doubled up. It's to be defeated, to be buried beneath a large mass, to be drowned. It's almost as if like life itself has turned you upside down and you can't breathe anymore. You're just overwhelmed with circumstance. It's almost like you're speechless and dazed. And here's the deal. If you are overwhelmed this morning, if you've got circumstances that are going on in your life, whether you caused them or not, I believe that our God is good enough to meet you there, but he's way too good to leave you there. He wants to pull you out of that into his promise. And this is the danger, is that when we get overwhelmed with life, and it's more than we can handle, the tendency is to do it alone. Would you agree? Like, I know for me as a man, the tendency is like, I've got this. I don't need any help. Like, I can handle this alone. And all the women would agree, this is your typical man, right? Ladies in the house, would y'all agree? I see a lot of head nods, okay? Someone just got slapped in the back. We try to do this alone, and obviously, I'm a man, as you can see. I'm a manly man, probably not as much, okay? But I like to work with my hands, and you know, I can't, like, I don't do the whole hunting thing, but I can make, like, a leather thing to carry your gun, okay? Like, I'm not the best at fixing cars, but I can make you a belt, okay? I do leather work. I can make you a belt so no one sees your crack when you're fixing your car, okay? Because we know that crack kills, right? It's true, man. I read that somewhere. I'm telling you. But here's the deal. A couple weeks ago, this is amazing. A couple weeks ago, I was fixing the lights in the garage, and I needed more lighting so that I could see. I was working with my hands. I started a little small business. I love it, and that's like where I release, and it's just amazing. And I was out there. It's like 11:45 at night. And for the record, I am not an electrician. Are there any electricians in the house today? Don't judge me, okay? All of you guys, don't judge me, all right? And so I'm trying to get these lights to work, and it's late at night. They're hanging from the ceiling. There's wires going everywhere, and I have no clue what's going on, but there's no way I'm admitting that. So I did what any man of God would do, and I went to YouTube, okay? And so I'm looking up YouTube videos, and I'm like, how do you do this? One of them is blinking. I'm trying to loop them all together on a switch. It was a bad situation, okay? Kendra comes out to the garage. She's a little drowsy, and she's like, Seth, what are you doing, okay? Let me give you a picture. I'm standing on my workbench with pliers in one hand, and I've got wires in the other one, and I'm like, oh, you didn't know your husband could do this, did you? Like, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing, okay? She didn't know that, though. And so she's like, what are you doing? You need to come inside before you kill yourself. And I was like, babe, I've got this. How many husbands have said that before? I know what I'm doing. And the reality is we're watching YouTube videos on the side. We don't want them to see, right? And so I've got this under control. And we start having a good, healthy, God-centered conversation about, you know, it was an argument, okay? She's like, you don't know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. You don't. I do. And then I scream like, I do. And I clenched down on the wire, and it was not dead, okay? And so I'm like, I squeeze it, and it's like, boom. All the lights turn off. It was like, let there be light, but there wasn't, okay? It's like I felt the power of God in that moment. I got electrocuted, okay? And there was no rubber on the handle of these pliers, so it went straight through the body, okay? And I was like, y'all, okay, I'm an idiot. I know, okay? Don't judge me. I didn't fall off the workbench, so it was good. Some call it stupid. I call it trial and error, okay? Husbands, listen to your wives. They hear from God about 80% of the time. Okay. Here's the deal. I should have asked for some help. And yes, that's funny, but the reality is, Angela, the reality is a lot of people will live life this way. Like, I've got this under control. And even when they get shocked, they don't tell anyone about it. When circumstances come your way, when life happens and we're alone, someone in here, I believe today, I want you to say this with me. Say, I need help. Some of you struggled saying that because you don't want help. Turn to the person next to you and say, you definitely need help. It's easier to say that, right? You need help. Okay, so how do we realize, like, how can we handle more than we can handle? I want you to write this down. Number one, realize that your weakness is your weapon. Your weakness is your weapon. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I learned a lot about the power of electricity a couple weeks ago, okay? But his power is great. It says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I'm thankful that as a Christian and as a pastor at New Life Church, I don't have to have it all together. Like, I don't have to have all the answers to the hard questions. I don't have to have all the I's dotted and T's crossed. Like, I don't have to have it all together. Because if our ability and our own natural strength was enough, we would not need a God. We wouldn't need God if we could do it by ourselves. Natural strength is temporary, right? As you get older, your strength fades and your hair turns gray. Okay, only a few people, okay? I'm getting gray hair. Student ministry will do that to you, okay? Your kids, Lord, help us, okay? I want you to write this down. Our confidence is not in our independence. It is found in our dependence. It's in our dependence, but dependence on who? Not me, but God. Our confidence is found in, not in our independence, but our dependence. I realized early on in my walk with God that God did not want partial surrender. He wasn't really satisfied or happy with partial faith. Partially living for God, coming to him at the beginning, but then leaving to do it myself. It says in Colossians 2, verse 6 through 8, it says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue. Everybody say continue. This means this goes forth past the day of salvation to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive. That's why we're doing this series. No one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. I've learned a very important lesson about surrender. Surrender in the eyes of the world says this: lay down your weapons and die. Surrender in the eyes of the Word of God, it says lay down your will and live. I tell students all the time that sacrifice and surrender are not sexy. Okay, you don't see people posting about that. You don't see people tweeting about that. You don't see people making magazine covers about that. It is not sexy. Surrender is what God has called us to do. Luke 9:23, it says, then he said to the crowd, I love this, if any of you wants to be a follower, you must give up your own way. I bolded that, circled that, underlined that, give up your own way. Take up your cross daily, continue, and follow me. And in our lives, when we take up a hobby or a new job role or a new relationship, it's very wise to lay down the previous one. If you don't believe me, go into a relationship without laying down the previous one, okay? It doesn't work well. If you've done it, you know what I'm talking about, okay? When it comes to faith, though, we pick up the cross and we lay down our pride. We pick up the cross and we lay down our own way, our own will, our own plans. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says it this way: when we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of Christ. When we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of Christ. So how do we know if we have come to the end of ourselves in the beginning of Christ? Number one is that we seek to serve and not to be served. Have you ever met someone that has an it's all about me mentality? That's actually one of our core values in our student ministry, is that it is actually not about you. It's not about me. And I had a hard, like really a harsh reality when I came to know Jesus, because this was hard for me to understand. We seek to serve and not to be served. We become contributors and not just consumers. A couple weeks ago, I shared it with our serve team. I had this realization that for many years of my life, I was coming to the bride of Christ expecting for the bride of Christ to serve me. The bride of Christ is the church. I was coming to the church and I was like, serve me, hold the door for me, make the coffee for me, ask me how my day is going, feed me. But when I actually came to the end of myself in the beginning of Christ, it was about other people. It was about more people coming to know who Jesus was, and that's why I gave my life to this. I started thinking about it. It would be like someone walking up to my bride, who is Kendra, and asking her to serve them. And I was like, we probably wouldn't be the best of friends, right? And I realized this. The second thing is that we give back. We give back. If we've come to the end of ourselves, we give back. We bring back to the Lord. Financially is one of those areas. For me, this was the hardest because this was the last thing I let go of in my walk with God. Prayerfully, seeking God for his will and his healing and his plans. I would come to God, y'all. I would come to God with my plans, asking for his stamp of approval. And I realized that God doesn't work that way. And the last one is wholeheartedly. We come to God and we give wholeheartedly. Does anyone like a return on their investment in here? Okay, any business people? You like a return on the investment. The kingdom of God doesn't work that way. I learned even in marriage, it doesn't always work that way. Kendra, you know, when we first got married, I made a lot of really stupid decisions. I love sharing those with you, by the way. And she would want to buy something. We would go shopping, and I would ask her, what's the return on the investment? Stupid question, okay? If you don't believe me, try it today, okay? Really stupid question. The last one is this. We come to the end of ourselves when we choose to believe the best. Have you ever assumed before, right? You know what they say about assuming? Well, it's a donkey, okay? We'll just leave it there, okay? If you don't get it, just think about it. I cannot control the outcome. I cannot control the results. I can't control other people. Does anyone want to be able to, right? Like sometimes I just want a remote. It's like mute. Mute and mute again, okay? And rewind and pause and never play again. But it doesn't work that way. I can only control my perspective. I can control the way that I view a circumstance or a situation. I believe that Jesus wants us to come to the end of ourselves so that we can come to the beginning of him. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, I love this passage. It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? In weakness, not strength. God wants you as you are. You do not have to clean up to come to him. You don't have to clean up to come to the church. It's good to put clothes on. Okay, that's good. You can come to him in the midst of your weakness because he is strong. I want to clarify something. Just because something is in your life, it does not mean that God put it there. Like we, as humans, we are capable of doing this thing. It's called making really bad decisions. Anybody ever done that? Like, yes, bad decisions lead to other bad things. But in the midst of that, we live in a sinful world with sinful people. There's chaos. As Pastor Dale told us, there's choices and there's chance. And sometimes it's hard to get past that. It's like, God, why is this happening to me? And I tell our students all the time that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting what? A different result. We do the same thing when it comes to our walk with God. The same thing. I wrote this down in my office. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Y'all, we are past New Year's. I know there was a lot of goals and resolutions that were made, but like nothing changes if nothing changes. It's never too late to change, but some of us today need to make a stop doing list. Like anybody love to-do list in here? Okay, I'm not the best at that, okay? My wife is amazing. We need to make a stop doing list because we feel like the burden is so heavy because we are doing too much. A stop doing list. Some of you need to make a start doing list, okay? That's me, all right? I believe that some of us are in a wrong, the wrong place. We're in a place that's difficult, that's hard. We're in a rough spot because we have not changed the patterns that got us there. And I wonder if a little change happened, what would happen? In this passage, Paul had a thorn. And I believe that we do also. This thorn, it brought Paul to the end of himself and the beginning of Christ. Some people believe that the thorn was a physical thorn. Some people believe that it was a spirit or a person. Kind of creepy. Some people believe it was his eyesight when he was blinded on his way to Damascus. And when he was blinded, he had to rely on outside help to get him to where he was going. And I believe God wants the same thing for us. The more that we rely on God and less on ourselves, it's always better off that way. The second thing is this. Write this down. Rely on God's grace. Anybody thankful for God's grace? Like we need to rely on God's grace. Fun fact, ants can lift about 50 times their own body weight, okay? I wanted to be a zoologist when I was a kid. Don't judge me, all right? And now I'm a pastor. It's kind of the same thing, right? Kidding. Awful joke. All right. A rhinoceros beetle can lift 100 times its own body weight. So that would be like the average human lifting 9 tons above its head. That's like 18 polar bears. Just get a visual, okay? We obviously can't do that, but some of us live this way. And we are crushed by circumstance. We are crushed by other people's approval and their opinions. When life happens, it's like, where do we go? It says in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all. Everybody say all. To all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord who goes before you, he's leading the way. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not fear and be dismayed. If you were to agree with me this morning that there will be storms in life, would you agree? There are storms. It is real, but I believe that God is with us in the storm. I want you to write this down. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of your God. Like just because things are happening doesn't mean he is not with you in the midst of the storm. There's valleys and there's mountaintops, and I would rather be in a valley with Jesus than on a mountaintop without him. I would rather, because the mountaintop in the world's eyes looks a lot different than the mountaintop in God's eyes. And we look around at what everybody else is doing and what we are not doing, and we say, I want to be there, but God, I'm okay with being right here with you. For me, I believe that a storm is an opportunity to call on Jesus. In my life, man, I've had a lot of storms, and I do not mind sharing a lot of those with you guys. A couple of them, as a teenager, I found my identity in everything else but Jesus. That's why I'm so passionate about the next generation. Because in a world that is gray, we desperately need the truth of God's word. Everything is shifting. His word is not changing. I stole for years. I would go into places and steal. I wish I could go back and apologize to every business owner and every person that I stole from. But I would walk into places and take things that were not mine. I was struggling, walking through my parents' divorce. It was hard. Not communicating early on in my own marriage, it's difficult. Without a job after college, I was like, God, you called me to ministry and I feel like I'm hanging. Anybody been there before? When are you going to provide? Are you even here? Struggling financially. Bill to bill, paycheck to paycheck. Last semester, I walked through some mild depression in ministry because ministry's hard. It's hard because most of the time you're believing in other people more than they believe in themselves. And I was like, God, I know that you're with me, but I just don't feel you. I know that you're here. Your word says that you go before me, that you are beside me, that you fight the battle for me. But sometimes it does not feel that way. 2 Corinthians, it says this. We were crushed and we were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Someone needs to hear this morning. And we thought that we would never live through it. Have you been there before? There's no way I will live through this. God will get you through it. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. And we learned to rely on God, only on God, who raises the dead, by the way. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. The last thing I want you to write down today is that we have to walk in God's power. We have to walk in God's power. Let me tell you, I have learned this the hard way. Has anybody else tried to do it alone in life? Walking in my own strength, which is temporary. Walking in my own power, which the word of God, which is the truth, says it's not wise. It doesn't work that way. So I'm terrified of speaking, by the way, just so you know. This is the one thing I begged God that I would never have to do. By the way, that's usually what you end up doing, okay? And here I am, and during worship, I take a step forward because I'm stepping out of Seth's insecurities and in who God has called me to be. Because he empowers us. He is in the midst of my weakness because in my weakness, he is strong. My weakness is a weapon. If I lean into his grace, if I step into his truth, if I step into his strength, there's nothing that can stand against me. I've tried it my way and it doesn't work. This is what I realized for the longest time. Metaphorically in life, I had like this boat, kind of scared of water. I had this boat and I was rowing my way through life. I've got this, God. This is my thing. I surrendered to you at the day of salvation, but I'm going to carry the weight. The cross was cool, but you know what? I'm going to carry my own sin. I'm going to do my own thing. And God said, stop rowing. You were never intended to live that way. And now I put up the sails. I put up the sails. I get into the boat. I'm confident in who I am and who God has created me to be. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, in a gust of God's grace, he propels me into who I am supposed to be. And I want to tell you today that he wants to do the same thing for you. It's not a one-stop shop. He says, continue in who you've been called to be. Keep going. Don't stop. Let God empower you, but you can't walk into his power if you haven't been empowered. This is what the word means. M is to put into. Power is strength, and God wants to put strength into you. If you're struggling financially, God wants to put strength into you. If you have a loved one who is running from God, God wants to put strength into you. If your marriage is falling apart, I spoke with a man last night, everything has been washed away. And he's like, I have nothing to cling to. And I said, yes, you do. You have the truth of God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His promise yesterday is the same today and tomorrow. Amen. He wants to guide you through this. He's got what it takes. And as you stand across the room, I want to read this verse to you. It's in Isaiah. Y'all can go ahead and stand across the room. Isaiah 40. It says that he gives strength. Everybody say strength. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. even when the youth grow tired and weary, because we do, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Their strength is renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If you do not believe me, the supreme example of weakness and strength together is the cross. Jesus is like, Father, if there's any other way, will you let another thing happen? Does it have to be this way? Yes. There's power in weakness. He is strong in the midst of your weakness. So today we need to ask for some help. If you need help, man, you are at a good place. In worship here in a second, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask God for help. God, I need you. Admit that you can't do this alone. Receive God's grace and walk in his power. I want to read this verse over you. If you feel comfortable, hold your hands out in front of you. It's a posture to receive and give away. Matthew 11, it says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I love this last part. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you would, close your eyes across the room.